Take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to read verses 21 to 25. And I'll read verse 21. And then you read verse 22 with me. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for all that we've gotten to sing about and enjoy so far this morning. Lord, thank you for making salvation possible. And Lord, you know every heart, you know every need. Please, without you, we can do nothing. So Lord, help us this morning as we look into your word. I know you have something for each person here. Strengthen us, please, as your children. And Lord, we ask this for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. There are some funny statements made about marriage, and I'll give you a few of them. One of them is, ever since it started snowing, my husband stands in front of the window and watches. If the snow ever gets much worse, I might let him in. Okay. Or this one, one day my wife's credit card got stolen. I was relieved to find out that the thief spent less than she did. Of course, some define marriage as the bond between a person who never remembers anniversaries and another person who never forgets them. Someone said, I didn't find out what happiness was until after I was married, but by then it was too late. Now, those are cute and funny statements, but when I hear jokes like that, there's always a twinge of sadness in me, too, because I know there's a lot of unhappy homes and marriages in America. In our day and age, there shouldn't be so much confusion about marriage and in the home. But there is, because we have a society that is so willingly ignorant of the Bible. You understand, where prayer and the Bible were outlawed in 1963 in the school. It's outlawed. We're now on year 60 past that. So we're dealing with the problems because they've removed the Bible and prayer. Well, what teaches most of our society? The public school. You say the Christian school. Christian school is like 1 or 2%. And I'm for the Christian school, but the Christian school doesn't teach our society and train its views. The public school does. The average weekly mental diet of the average American is 90% Hollywood and media, and a little Bible study on Sunday. This is why progressive and evolutionary views of the world are different from a child of God who loves and reads and lives his Bible. You should be thinking differently than people who are at work. If they don't go to church and they're not exposed to the Bible, they're not hearing it on the TV, they're not tuning in anything on the internet, you're the only one that's got any view from the Word of God, and it should be different. I wish the average diet was 89% Bible, 10% history, and only 1% media. But it doesn't work that way. Amen? As the world disagrees and its wickedness becomes more and more evident, you could view your church this morning as a small and insignificant place in such a huge ocean of filth. I don't want you to be discouraged with the filth that's in the world, but there is a lot of filth out there. You can either view it's like us coming to church, what are we doing? We're not going to change the world. And that view will discourage you. But can I give you something that will encourage you this morning? Don't view it that way. Why don't you view your church as this is a place where all of us can come and hear the Bible taught and hear the Bible preached in a world of filth and darkness. And we can long for them to understand. I wish the divorce rate was not 64%. I wish it wasn't so high. But I can only help them as I can teach them the Bible. Amen? They actually think they have the answers, and they have no answers. They don't know how to raise their kids. They don't know how to stay married. They have no clue. The TV literally trains them in everything they do. But when we come to church, praise God for our heaven on earth, amen, where we can come and sing and smile and fellowship and be as a family and hear the Word of God preached. And I'd like this to be a haven rather than, if you take the other view, it's hopeless. And it's not hopeless, amen. This morning, I want to look at marriage by God's design this morning. You say, Pastor, I'm single. Every person should have a biblical view of marriage, whether you're married or not. Every teenager should understand marriage as God designed it. I don't think, if marriage is the second most important relationship you'll ever have outside of Jesus Christ, then why would you wait to get married to prepare for marriage? Doctors spend 8 years in college preparing for their profession. A lawyer spends 8 years. Why would you only spend 3 or 4 months preparing for your marriage that is the most important relationship you're going to have? I think as a teenager, I think as a 12-year-old, I think as a 14-year-old, you ought to be longing for one day I want a Christian home. One day you may be in a home where your parents don't come. We have kids that come to church whose parents don't come to church. You may be in a home that has divorce and maybe drugs and drinking and all of that. But it'd be nice if when you come to church, if you heard the Bible taught, and if you come from a home like that, it'd be nice for you to have a God-given hope saying one day, I don't want a home like I come from. I want a home like God designed. They should be longing and having those longings. I want a husband that won't hit me and won't hurt me and leave me one day. Amen. I want a wife that'll be, you understand, there should be longings like that. Well, how can you do that if you only teach marriage to marriage people that are married? Amen? So every person, single or married, should have a biblical understanding of marriage, just the basics, and that's all I want to cover this morning on this. I can't deal with all of the problems that marriages are dealing with in one message. But if we looked at basic truths, I think it can improve everybody's view and hope and help in this morning. Genesis chapter 2. First of all, I want you to look at verse number 7. Genesis chapter 2, and watch this. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Aren't you glad you don't come from a monkey? What an insult and a slap in the face to God that is. I was not created in the image of an animal. I was created in the image of God. Amen. And God made you in his image. You say, what does that mean? God made you to walk with him. That's why you have to get born again, because your spirit is dead. But God, it's wonderful to know every person in here, God made you to fellowship with him. Your animals aren't made in the image of God. I'll tell you that here in a little bit. You were made to fellowship with God. That's what being made in the image of God means. Look at verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Isn't it amazing? Your Bible is exactly what God wants you to know about world history. Tonight I'm going to show you how come China's history is not in the Bible. China has rules of dynasties. They're one of the oldest civilizations. How come China and nothing that relates to China is in your Bible? Russia, South America. But what is in your Bible is what God wants you to know. Amen? That it's God's story or it's history. Look at, it says here, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. When you read their Bible, In chapter 1, the first thing you learn is that God created you in His image, and then God gives you dominion. You're supposed to be controlling. That's why you're supposed to live by a schedule. Oh, life is so hectic, and I just don't know. Life isn't supposed to be happening to you. You're supposed to be happening to life. God made you to control what's... I'm not trying to turn you into a control freak. I'm trying to say you're not supposed to be out of whack. Oh, I'm getting ready. Wait a second. God gave you dominion. You're supposed to be control. You're supposed to be in control of your home. You're supposed to be in control. That's why you need a budget. What's a budget do? It's you determining control and how you're going to spend your money before you get it. I get this much money, that, and without a budget, your life is hectic. And without a schedule, I promise you, your life is hectic. God wants you to have control. You understand? He created you to have dominion. Let's look at the next verse. Ready? Look at verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. So God gives a general, a basic picture of what He created men and women on the earth in Genesis 1. In chapter 2, He's going to give a more specific picture. So, that tells me this. It tells me, since God created marriage, you can't have a good marriage without God. Okay, 1 John 4 verse 8 says, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Christian, think with me just for a second. God is love. You can't love without God. You can lust. And that's what we're watching happen. But you can't love without God. How do you love somebody unconditionally? God's the one that teaches you, no matter what you do to me, I still love you when you get saved. We don't love that way. We do trades. Here, if you're good to me, I'm good to you. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. You know, you defend me, I defend. That's how we love. But until you meet God and He saves you and you submit to His word for salvation, you start learning love is on a different level. Love, for instance, when a man is taught to love his wife by God loving him. And as many times as I've failed God and He's never thrown me in the trash can, that type of love God teaches me. And has my wife failed me? Yes, she has failed me. Has she disappointed me? Yes. But does that mean I'm supposed to change my love? God didn't change His love to me when I failed and hurt Him. Amen? A Christian, that's why this thinking, well, we're going to get married and we're going to... Is God a part of the plan? If God was, the divorce rate wouldn't be 64%. I'll say it again. God designed marriage and you cannot have a good marriage without God. It says in Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It's sad for me to watch couples get married and they actually think they can do it without God. Because they don't know what the Bible says about marriage, the only thing they know is the filth they've seen on Hollywood and what they've learned in the world, but they've never read the Bible concerning marriage. That's why the basics are wonderful. How about a basic like this? If you're wondering what a man is supposed to be, read Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and you'll find out what God created a man to do. God created a man to work. Now, I don't think this applies to anybody in our church, so I'm trying to give you things that we're dealing with as society. Role reversals? Well, here, why don't you as the husband stay home and let the wife go earn the keeping, that your role reversal switches, that's getting real popular. There's a reason women are with children. It's not because men and women are different. They're not the same. The man has a broader shoulder. He can carry a heavier load. God made the... There's nothing... Look, woman. She was taken out of man. The word woman. You understand? Man, woman, three of the... There's five letters in woman. Three of them are man, right? M-A-N. You know what the woe is? God made an opposite. God took a rib out of Adam and made an opposite. Everything he's not, she is. That's why what we're watching, transgenderism and all this stuff and role reversal and all of that, they're not interchangeable. A woman cannot handle what a man can handle. And watch this, a man cannot handle what a woman can handle. And that doesn't mean that the women are only supposed to be the ones raising the kids. A father's role is very important in a child's life. Extremely important. A child views God like their father treats them. No, a father's role is vital in a child's life. So I'm just saying in the society we live in, you're watching the news and the media try to combine, well, women can do... No, they're totally opposite. They're totally different. And you learn that, watch this, not from a preacher. I hope you learn that as you read your Bible. Your Bible teaches you that. I know this is not politically correct, but watch this. What God designed is good. Marriages don't fail. Listen closely. People fail. But the marriage that God designed is good, and what God designed does not fail. People fail. So it's not, well, I'm set against marriage because I've been hurt. I understand that. And they say there's nothing more painful than a divorce. And I've tried to help people through that, nor do I think if you're divorced, you're a second-class citizen. I don't treat people that way. But marriage is good. The way God designed it, it's good. And marriages don't fail. No one, okay, praise the Lord, I've already told you, nobody evolved from a monkey. There are only, what else do you learn when you read Genesis 1 and 2? There's only two genders, male and female. Isn't it sad we got to say that? Do we actually have to talk about bathroom usage? You know what I mean? Who would have thought 10 years ago? I'm not going to talk about that this morning. No, there is not 72 genders. That's what they're saying. Did you know that's what they're teaching the kids in the public school? If you doubt that, ask them what they're learning in sex education in the third grade. When I was in public high school, but that was in the 80s, we didn't get, and I'm not for sex education. It has done nothing but destroy our society. But I didn't get sex education till I was in the 11th grade. They're now giving it to third graders and second graders. You expose a child to that type of teaching and it damages the mind and the emotion. It's horrible what we're watching happen. No, there's not 72 genders. There's only two. There's only two. God never makes a mistake concerning gender. The only people that question gender and sexuality are pedophiles and perverts. Marriage, by God's design, has always been between a man and a woman. Never two men, never two women. If you doubt that, we looked at Romans chapter 1 this morning. You can look at it later, but Romans chapter 1. Listen closely. Anything outside of God's design will fail. It doesn't matter what our society or our government says. It doesn't matter. Okay, you say, but they legalized homosexual marriages. Well, they legalized abortion too. What does that have to do with the tea in China? They legalize, look, marijuana's legal. It's still a psychotropic drug. Who cares what they make legal and what they make illegal? It should matter what the Bible says. This is what matters. This is always true. Society will always vacillate back and forth. New Testament Christianity, listen closely, survived 1,740 years without the U.S. Constitution. I like the U.S. Constitution. I think it's one of the greatest documents ever penned by man. But if the Constitution is destroyed or rendered ineffective like they're trying to do it, it doesn't change anything that we're supposed to do as God's children. Jesus promised us that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church, Matthew 16:18. I am a Christian that lives in America, and I feel very blessed to have been born in America. I'm glad I'm an American, but listen closely. I am not an American that happens to be a Christian, though. I'm a Christian that lives in America. I am troubled by what I see happening in America. But listen, I'm not cast down and I don't lose my hope because of what's happening in America. My hope is, okay, let me just follow through with this. From the passing of laws that make it legal to produce and drink liquor all the way back in the 1930s to making it from that law in the 1930s to the law in 1973 that makes it legal for a woman to murder her unborn child. to our Supreme Court just a few years ago saying it's all right for men to marry men and women to marry women. America, listen closely, America has consistently legislated for sin and against the Bible for the past 100 years. It doesn't change what I'm supposed to believe. Amen? The Bible determines what I believe. Now, it breaks my heart. I don't like watching it. I pray against it. But it doesn't determine what I believe. Now, I already told you, marijuana is now legal. And if you don't embrace sinful lifestyles, you're called a racist or you're eligible for being guilty of a hate crime. The word hate crime should scare you. For the first time in history, you can now go to jail for something you think and never do. The word hate crime should, that's the first time in the history of the world. Well, you're guilty of a hate crime. I'm not for anybody hating anybody. But a crime is an act committed. It's not a thought. You understand? But that's what we're watching happen in society. Now stay with me here. No one in society, none of these things should stop our church from preaching the truth of the Word of God and living the truth of God. No one in society, here's our problem. Ready? And then we'll get into marriage here in just a second. I'm just precursoring this. Just stay with me. No one in society has spoken out against homosexuality for 40 years. People said they disagreed with it, but nobody has come out and said, we're against that. And because of that, now that Hollywood, Disney, and the music industry endorse it and have promoted it, now it's, guess what? It's the norm. Everybody understand? There's a difference with you disagreeing and you as a Christian saying, I stand against that because it violates the Bible. Nobody's done that. We're supposed to be tolerant and we're supposed to... Careful, that now we're watching. Now, colleges aren't against it, churches aren't against it, and professing Christians aren't against it because they love Hollywood and media and the Bible now just gets in the way. That's what we're dealing with. I love preaching this morning. The Bible is as clear today on homosexuality as it is on drunkenness. It's always been wrong, and it will always be wrong. Always. It's as clear as it is on abortion. The world is changing. I'm so thankful the Word of God doesn't change. I love America. I've already told you, I thank the Lord for it. But my hope is not in the drunken representatives and senators. My faith is not in the Supreme Court. My faith is in the Bible. We're to continue preaching the Word of God and doing all we can to get people saved and helping them grow spiritually. That's our job as a church. That's our job. So, this morning, God created marriage. God created man and woman in His own image. God designed marriage to be between a man and a woman. Now look at Genesis 2, verse 18. Ready? Watch this. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. There's two words there that I think are very key. The first one is alone. God said it's not good for a man to be alone. If you leave, you know, the old statement goes like this. If you leave a man alone long enough, he starts to stink. Okay? I'm for hygiene and things like that. But let me just tell you this morning. Verse 18 tells me this. God's original intent for marriage was companionship. That was God's original intent. What was God thinking when God said a man and woman should be joined and turned into one, made one flesh, till death do they part? What was God thinking? The whole idea was companionship. Because it's not good that man should be alone. Now, you see what this does? When you read your Bible and you get God's perspective on marriage, it helps you reset. You understand? In other words, the world will tell you all types of things, and I'll share that with you this morning. But God made... Now, this is not acceptable, so listen closely. As a matter of fact, go to 1 Corinthians 11. We'll come back here to Genesis, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look, I have worldly programming in me. I've seen way too much TV growing up. Way too much. There has to come a point where I let the Bible reprogram me. And there's going to be some things that I think that are wrong because God says it's wrong. You understand? That's repentance, right? I read the Bible and I repent or change my mind to what the Bible says. We say, why would you say that? Before we read 1 Corinthians 11:3, I'm going to make a statement. God made the woman to be a companion for the man. That's a strong statement, but that's Bible. Well, no, God made the man to be a companion for the woman, but God made man first. Then he said, so man is not alone. I will make a woman for him. And he didn't use the word woman yet. He used the word helpmeet, which is beautiful. But just so we can back up what we're saying with Scripture, look at 1 Corinthians 11:3. This is not real popular, but everybody ought to have this verse marked in your Bible. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Somebody said, well, if I hope, look, there's nothing that causes a husband to treat his wife like a cave woman in the Bible. There is nothing that leads a husband to mistreat his wife. And I'll show you that this morning in the Bible. For somebody to say, well, if I do things the Bible way, then then I become subservient to my husband. Wait a second. He answers to God and she answers to him. A two-headed anything is a what? A freak or a monster, right? You don't like going into a business that's like that. God didn't design the home to be that way. The head of the woman is the man, but the head of the man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. That's the order that's in the Bible, right? So here we go. It is hard for a woman to submit to a man. It goes against her nature, goes against her sin nature. But watch this. She has to work at that like he has to work at submitting to God. I'll share that with you here in just a second. You're there in 1 Corinthians 11. Before we leave this, go down to verse 8. Ready? Go to verse 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. You know, it's wonderful when every wife can say, look at her husband and say, God created me for you. I think that's a holy thought. It's holy when a single teenager says, for a boy to say, God, you made somebody for me. Help my path to cross their path, right? That's a holy thought. Lord, I don't know who it is, but Lord, watch over them today and help them. How about this? For a single girl to be saying, God, you made me for somebody. Please let my path cross their path when you know I'm ready. That's a holy thought. That's the way they ought to be thinking. Not get married at all costs or whatever. How about God's direction? Amen? That's good. The woman was created for the man. Now, I'm not trying to demean women this morning, and there's nothing in the Bible that demeans women. I've said this before, but in the history of the world, there has never been a successfully run matriarchal society. I know you've seen the movies, but Wonder Woman is fantasy land. Does everybody understand? It's not real. There is no such in the 6,000 years of world history. Let me say it just real plain. There's never been a successful society run by women. That goes totally against the grain because everything in Hollywood and everything in the movie industry and everything in society is pointed towards women replacing men. That's the way our world teaches. I'm just telling you now, that's what's in the world. And that is not God's design. There are several purposes for marriage, but the primary purpose is companionship. Let me give you something here. Ready? Having children is one of the purposes. They're supposed to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's Genesis 1:28. Having children is one of the purposes of marriage, but it's not the primary purpose of marriage. It's not the primary purpose. God is the one who gives life. And if a couple, watch this, you say, why would you say something like that? Listen closely. When a couple cannot have children, has God withheld the primary purpose of their marriage? No. There are couples that can't have children. So that doesn't mean they're in violation of God's will. You can't say, if you say children are the main purpose of marriage, then you just, that's depressing. I don't know other word to say it. No, I disagree with that. I don't think the Bible teaches that. The physical relationship is holy, it's good, it's right, and it's pleasurable, and it's part of marriage, but it is not the primary purpose. It is not. God designed the physical relationship to be the only boundary in the boundary of marriage. When that boundary is crossed, outside that boundary that God designed is regret, pain, fear, and hardship. That's not the lesson this morning, but that's why I try to tell people, abstain, stay pure before you get married. Do all you can. Set up boundaries. My wife and I did not go on dates that were not chaperoned. You say, why? Because I can't trust me. I watch people stare into each other's eyes, you know, like this before they're married. I was like, I told my wife, we tried that. We did. I was like, I'm going to stare into your eyes. And my wife said, and I looked at my wife, and I was like, nah, 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 nah. After about a minute, I told my wife, I said, this has to quit or I'm going to sin. I can't keep doing, you understand? Why did you not go on unchaperoned dates? Because I couldn't trust me. I've told you some stories about that. Let me stay on the subject. Outside the boundary of marriage, the physical relationship is unholy. It's evil, it's wicked, and it's wrong, and God makes it clear in Hebrews 13 that God will judge whoremongers and adulterers. That's the society we live in. Now, take your Bible, and let's go back to Genesis 2:18. The name of the message this morning is Marriage by God's Design. And you say, well, everybody should know this. You know this, but did the majority of the people in your neighborhood know this? Do the people you work with know this? The answer to the question is no. They're trained by the movies. They're trained by Hollywood. They know nothing about the Bible. Yesterday we got to witness to a man. I hope he comes to church and he knows he's welcome here. But he knew just enough of the Bible to damn his soul to hell. I'm praying for him. I pray he gets saved. Amen. But his concept of the Bible, he thought he knew it. He was religious, but he was lost as a goose in a snowstorm flying backwards with his head cut off. Is that lost? Amen? Lost. Sad, but that's our society. They really think they know what's going on. Oh, I'm a God-fearing man, all that other stuff. Okay, here we go. Genesis 2:18. Ready? Let's read it again. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Can I just, if you, in the Bible, you will find that there are some people that God does not designate for marriage. There's a few. Did you know it's more prevalent and easier for a woman to be single than it is for a man? You say, where'd you get that from? The Bible. The Bible. Amen? Now, there are some. Right? And that's not the Bible study this morning either. I could show you that. But listen here. Adam wasn't missing something. Adam was missing someone. God made the animals. And people do love animals. But animals don't make good companions because animals don't have souls. Ecclesiastes 3 plainly says what happened. I'm not here to... I know every time I say this, it sucks the air out of the room. But look, we've had pets that have passed and they were everything to our family, okay? I wept for a week when I had to put down our dog, okay? It killed me. But the Bible plainly says what happens to an animal when it dies. It goes back to the dust of the ground. No, dogs do not go to heaven. I'm just telling you. That's movie. You understand? That's movie stuff. Animals go back to the dust. People live forever somewhere. When they die, they keep on living forever somewhere, right? Based on whether they're saved or lost. Now, someone who is... Adam needed a companion and Adam needed fellowship. Adam didn't need another man. He needed the fellowship of someone like him. God made the word in Genesis 2:18. I wish you'd underline this word. It means the words help meet. The word help meet, most people have never looked it up. God, did you know God never uses the word spouse? God uses the word help meet. You know what the word help meet? The word help means, it means to aid, but the word meet means fitting in your King James Bible. Amen? You know what a wife is to a husband? She is a help that has been specifically fitted or meet to fill in his shortcomings. I like this description. I heard a preacher describe it this way. I'm staying on the word help me because I really want you to understand it when you read your Bible. Think of it this way. I like this. A man is an incomplete circle. A woman is a complete circle. And when you put the two together, when they're put together by God, she fills in his gaps. That's why when I talk to teenagers about marriage, I'll say, how can you, son, know what you're supposed to marry and what to look for if you don't even know yourself? You know, some people are people, some are task-oriented, some are detailed, some are, you know what I mean? Every man has flaws. When I saw my wife loving kids, she was singing with them on the bus route, I was like, look at that. Boy, I'll bet if I ever got backslidden, she could be strong enough to yank my chain. Amen. Now look, I wasn't looking for a woman to run the home. But my wife has been a help to me in the ministry. And she's been wonderful. And I could not have done what the Lord has helped us both do together without her. Do you know why? She has completed me or filled in my shortcomings. She is everything I'm not. No man wants to marry anything that's even close to another man. You know, when he comes home from work, he's like, oh, you know, this is what happened. He doesn't want his wife going, honey, curl 15 pounds more than I could last week, babe. We're getting there. He's like, ah. See what I mean? I'm as right as rain on that. No man wants a woman that's part man. Amen. He wants a woman that does what? That is opposite of him. And that's how come if he's not careful and if he doesn't understand the word help meet, he literally in his mind starts wishing she was like him. And then she starts disliking her because he's not like, wait a second, God gave you a help meet that is opposite of you and designed to fill in your flaws. My wife is much more loving and tender and thoughtful than I am. Amen. What do you want me to say? Ladies, look, they remember birthdays. I don't. I've tried. I think the only thing that would work is a tattoo on my eyelids to where I blink and light fractioned. And it doesn't work. You say, well, you ought to be that way. Men are opposite of ladies. They're not the same. And when you start seeing the difference, instead of trying to mix the two together like society does, you start enjoying the fact that's how God made you. And you don't want to be any part of a man, and a man doesn't. I'm so glad I don't have to shave my armpits. Okay, let's move on. I don't. There's nothing a part of that. Amen. Okay, watch this. This is why every marriage needs to major on the companionship and the fellowship and the partnership. How about this? Every marriage is supposed to be based on because of how God designed it. Go take your Bible and go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Every marriage is supposed to be designed after God's design. The word helpmeet. That's why I wish every wife says this. That's why I've told the teenage girls, if you don't love God, what are you doing looking for a guy? What can you offer him other than the physical? What can you do that's more than what animals do? Build yourself in the sight of God. So that one day when God does let you get married, you have something to help them with. Amen. Because that's the whole purpose. You read your Bible and you start getting these resets that are, watch this, helpful. And you start seeing the companionship is the main goal. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Ready? Watch this. Now verse 7 is what I want you to see. But just in case you've never read this, watch verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. That if any husband obey not the word, they also, the husband, may without the word of God, be won by the conversation or lifestyle of the wives. So what am I supposed to do if my husband is not a Christian? God plainly tells you, be faithful to God. Let him see God making a difference in your life. Because every husband wants his wife happy. And when she's happy in the Lord, that has an influence on him that nothing else can. Okay, now this is talking about a couple where she's saved and he's lost. But watch this. This is instruction. Look at verse 2. While they behold your chaste or holy conversation coupled with fear. Who's adorning? So he's telling the wives here. Let it not be that of the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. Look, I'm for a lady getting finely dressed and stuff like that, but she ought to be doing it for her husband. Not because she's concerned what the world thinks about her. Keep on reading. Look at verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. Now watch this. Now God tells, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves with what? A meek and quiet spirit, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Look, that is so out of place in our society, but it's so much in the Bible. Look at verse number 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Verse 7 is what I'd like you to really see. Ready? Likewise, ye husbands. So now he's going to say, you husbands, listen up. Dwell with them, your wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Nowhere in the Bible. Look, the Quran, no, Islam is not the same as Christianity. You know what the Quran says? When a wife disobeys her husband, he's supposed to beat her. No, there's nothing in the Bible that tells a husband to beat his wife or mistreat her. As a matter of fact, the opposite is, the Bible says, when you get married, you honor her. You honor her. She's the queen of your life. And if you want to be a king, you treat her like a queen. You honor her. Watch this. Keep on going. Look at that. Look, what a beautiful verse. As unto the weaker vessel. Yes, she is weaker. Don't expect her to carry your load. She's weaker. She cannot handle what you can handle. She is more fearful. She does get scared easier. Then treat her that way.
Well, that's stupid. What are you thinking about that for?
Because she's a woman. When she sees the spider go across the floor, she ought to go, ooh, somebody squish it.
Well, why don't you step on it yourself?
That's not wise. You better thank God she's not like you. Amen. That's why I said there's nothing in the Bible that tells a man to hurt a woman or to mistreat a woman. I fail at it sometimes, but I like it when my wife goes on we go on dates, and I open the door for my wife, and I don't do everything right, but I need to. Amen? And the old tradition that says if you're walking on a sidewalk, the husband walks on the outside, and the wife walks on the inside in case he needs to protect her and push her out of the way from an oncoming vehicle. What's he doing that for? I've only held the door for one woman in my life that sneered at me. This was like 20 years ago. I opened the door for somebody. And she goes, I'll get it myself.
I was like, well, fine. Get it then.
That was some feminist pig, okay? Well, no, she was trained by society. She was trained to hate men. A real woman feels feminine and protected and safe in the presence of a man. She doesn't feel like a piece of meat. Amen. She feels protected and honored, and that's what the husband's put. Let's just take this just a little bit further, and I'll give you a few practical points. Ready? Watch this. Look at the last part of the verse. As being heirs together of the grace of life. Heirs together. You could take that one phrase and study it in your Bible, and it's beautiful. That's what the wife is to the husband. We're heirs together. And then notice the last part of the verse. That your prayers be not hindered. God tells a husband, you mistreat your wife, you put too much on her, and God will not answer your prayers. No, I don't find anything in the Bible that is demeaning to women. I do find a lot taught in the Bible that is totally opposite of what the world teaches. But I don't find anything in the Bible that tells a husband to do anything less than take care of and protect and help and teach his wife. That makes for a healthy home. When she doesn't know something, it says, what's the first part of the verse say? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, the wife, according to knowledge. When she doesn't know something, you're supposed to teach her, not call her stupid. What's dumb? How come you don't know that? Because nobody's taught her. You know what? You know, sweetie, she'll laugh with me about this. When we got married, my wife had only made sauce gravy. I said, sweetie, you got to know how to make fried gravy. You understand? Fried is always better. Fried chicken's always better than boiled chicken. Every man says amen, okay? If you want something better, you upgrade it by frying it. Amen. Okay, now, when my wife and I, we got married, she only knew how to make sauce gravy. I said, sweetie, I had to teach her how to make fried gravy. Now my wife is upgraded. Amen. I didn't look at her and say, that's stupid. What do you mean you don't know how to make fried gravy? Now she knows. Amen. We're a team. She's not my opposition. We're heirs together, the grace of life. Let me close the sermon by giving you just a couple of practical points, and then we'll go home. Okay, ready? Listen closely. Number one, never leave the house without saying goodbye. I don't know if I'm coming back. I'd hate for the last thing for us to have is a spat. Never leave the house without saying goodbye. I always want to kiss my wife before I leave. Number two, maintain communication throughout the day. This is so easy with phones and especially texting. And I'm not saying text all day. Ladies, when he goes to work, let him go. Let him work. Amen. But a little text like, I was thinking of you today. I was praying for you. I love you. I hope every... A little... We can do so much more than we used to. Just a little at break time and at lunchtime, that can happen. Maintain communication throughout the day. How about this? She can put notes in his lunch. My wife puts notes sometimes in my Bible. She'll put notes sometimes in a book or something like that, because I don't really take a lunch box, but it's sweet to have a note from your wife. In other words, just because you get married, don't quit writing notes. Number three, make every attempt to eat one meal together each day. They said before 9/11, only 30% of America ate any meals together. After 9/11, after the bombing, they said the amount of families that started spending one meal a day together went up to over 50%. People started saying, life is kind of indefinite. Maybe we should enjoy a meal together. There's something about sitting down and eating with people. That's why Jesus mentioned it, right? The table is the place of manners. It's where manners are taught to children. No, you say please, right? Now what do you say? Thank you. Right? That the table is where manners are taught. And when families don't sit down together, the kids don't learn please and thank you and yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Right? Sitting down at the table, sit down at least one meal. Number four, learn to transport your spouse into your world. When you have been gone for 13 or 14 hours and you come in the door, when your wife asks, what happened at work today? Make yourself tell her. Men bond by working together. Do you know how women bond? By talking. One of the best pieces of marriage advice I can give you is this. You either listen to her or you run the risk of someone else listening to her. Well, I just don't like to make yourself listen to her. Well, I don't want it duty driven. A husband has to learn that. We have to discipline ourselves. Look, you can put two men in a room together. They can watch a football game for 2 hours and just do nothing but grunt at each other. Can I tell you something? If your wife's in the room for longer than 10 minutes and you don't speak, I promise you, you've got problems. And you're either going to deal with it now or deal with it later, but you're going to deal with it. Amen. You know why? Because women bond with talking. That's the way God made them. And it's good. So a husband has to make himself do that. Discipline is good. One more thing. Grow in your relationship with God. We don't have time anymore. We're out of time this morning. But Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9 says this. If two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Listen to this. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Threefold. A good marriage isn't a husband and wife. A good marriage is a husband, a wife, and the Lord. Because the closer they get to the Lord, the closer they get to each other. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Bible basics, marriage by God's design. It's a reset button when the world is teaching stuff that is so messed up. And I hope this is a help. whether you're single or whether you're married. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, in a world that's mixed up, help us, please, as your people, help our homes.